Hey there, this is You Don't Deserve Science Fiction, where we talk about cool technologies of the future and why you should not have them.
Right. Turns out you don't deserve science fiction. You might think you do, but you don't.
Yeah, it's great, but, you know, just don't.
Who are you?
I am David Rainey. That's who I am.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm Mike Rainey.
Hey.
That's, no relation.
Yeah, none of that.
No. No, we are actually brothers. Not that I wouldn't start a podcast with somebody just with my last name and be like, well, what's been a, like, what's your life as a Rainey?
The plot thickens.
Exactly. But we do actually, you know, share genetic material and a background.
Yep.
Which might become evident, I would imagine, as you're listening to this.
So today we're talking about lightsabers. Pretty iconic. It's that weapon, that big old blade of light that you see in all those Star Wars movies.
Oh, you've seen them, and you wanted one, if you're anything like me, which you are. Why would you be listening to this podcast if you weren't? Clearly, you are also a nerd who wants things, and that you want to know why you can't have them. And that's why we're here, to destroy your dreams the way my dreams have been destroyed, with science.
It's like taking candy from a baby who wants a lightsaber.
There are very good. I do feel like a baby would just instinctively grab a lightsaber and then lose an arm.
Yeah, a lot of one-armed babies out there.
I don't know of any other science fiction gadget that is as iconic as the lightsaber. Like, nothing comes close.
Yeah, it's everyone, every little sci-fi nerd, you know, you don't play soldier, you play Jedi. You have a lightsaber, that's what you do.
Exactly. I mean, they're basically space wizards, which help. Like, I mean, the fact that you get, you know, space magic is beneficial as well. But still, there's something, you know, something very tangible about it, where it feels like you're a bigger part of the combat. Like, you know, with a gun, you're just kind of firing it off into nothingness and hoping for the best. Whereas, like, a sword, you're like, oh, I'm a skilled warrior.
Yeah, plus there's this idea of, you know, it's Jedi Knights, so you have a sword and there's this training and everything. So it's like, oh, I get to be kind of medieval, but with science things, and I don't get, I don't know, the plague, I guess.
Right, there's not a lot of Star Wars plagues that I'm aware of.
Does anyone get ill in those movies ever? Like, nobody has a cold or a fever? Do those exist?
Well, I guess Luke and Leia's mom just kind of dies from, like, being sad.
Yeah.
Like, she gives birth to them and then it's just like, okay, I'm done now, goodbye.
I mean, I guess that's just kind of like a millennial, like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right, it's really the saddest excuse for parenting I've ever seen. I don't know if you call that an illness. Like, nobody has the sniffles.
Yeah.
Okay, so lightsabers.
Yes.
I want one.
Sabers of light.
First of all, let's dispel a couple of rumors. You know, a couple of people think they know what it is. They don't know. First of all, it's not a laser.
Well, it's called a lightsaber.
It's also not light, technically.
Well, then my last point is moot.
So here's the thing. Everyone assumes that it's a laser beam because nobody knows how a laser beam would really work. Or not nobody. I'm sorry. I apologize, everyone. Many people are mistaken as to how a laser would actually work in this instance. Now, first of all, you can't actually see a laser.
But you can in the movies.
You can in the movies, but that's the whole point, is that in real life, lasers are invisible. Like, the whole point of what makes a laser is that all the light waves
X-ray. That's one, right? Is that one?
That's not, no.
Oh.
Thank you for just yelling out random science words, though. Just feel free to do that.
I just want to be part of the laser conversation.
I feel like you are part of it. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the contribution. Okay, so like with a normal light source, like a light bulb or fire or whatever, the light waves are just going off in every random direction. Mm-hmm. And some of them hit you in the eye, and that's why you can see things.
Okay.
So with a laser, the light waves are all going in the exact same direction. None of them are splitting off.
Huh.
So you can't actually see
like
the laser beam.
It's like a carpool for light.
Yeah, it's a carpool for light. That's exactly what lasers are, yes. So you can't actually see the laser until it strikes something, and some of the light reflects off and then hits your eye.
Okay, say you shoot a laser directly into my eye.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Then I can see it, though, right?
Well, yeah, for a moment before your retina, you know, melts away, yes.
Huh. There we go. Problem solved.
Yeah, no, science. Science is working. So the fact that we can see a lightsaber means that it's not a laser. It's got to be something else.
Okay.
So now in both canon and, like, physicists' best guess as to, like, real life, it's not actually light, it's plasma. Plasma's the fourth state of matter. Basically, like, if you start with a solid and you start heating it up, the molecules start moving around until they lose their shape and become liquid.
Like dancing at the club.
Just dancing, again, your scientific knowledge just blows me away.
That's right.
Okay, so you heat it up, you heat up a solid, it becomes liquid, you heat it up more, it becomes gas, you heat it up even more, and it becomes plasma. And basically, it's this high-energy state of matter where the atoms are starting to be ripped apart. So the electrons get ripped off and head off in one direction, and that leaves positively charged ions, you know, where the atom used to be. And because you have the separation of the positively charged nucleus of the atom and the electrons going off by themselves, it means that it can be affected by both electricity and magnetism.
So it's a laser. it's a laser that stays still. It stopped dancing.
It stopped. Yes, sure. Okay, so let me explain a little further. Because plasma can be affected by electricity and magnetism, you can use magnets to hold plasma in place.
Ah.
Yeah. So there's this device called a tokamak generator, which is a Russian acronym for Russian words that I don't know because I don't speak Russian. But essentially, it's a giant plasma donut that is held in place with magnetic fields.
Sounds delicious.
It is delicious.
For science.
But essentially, it's what a lightsaber would really be, because it's a superheated plasma held in place by magnets. It's just donut-shaped instead of saber-shaped.
Okay.
Although, really, lightsabers aren't saber-shaped either. That's another misnomer.
Yeah, aren't sabers kind of bendy, curvy?
Yeah, sabers should be curved. So really, everything about lightsaber is wrong.
Good job, George.
But plasma broadsword just doesn't have the same ring to it as lightsaber.
Well, it would have if that's what he called it.
That's true. Well, he, in the original script, he called them laser swords. And thank God someone came along and was like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Let's come up with a better name. George. So essentially, okay, so the plasma, basically the in canon and the theoretical way that a lightsaber would work is that the hilt is emitting some sort of magnetic field, which will contain the superheated plasma that is ejected from the hilt. And that superheated plasma is what you see, is what is glowing, and it actually creates the slicing power of the lightsaber.
Okay, so there's just a big old magnet in the handle, basically. It's holding everything back.
Exactly. And that also kind of explains why you can actually fight lightsaber versus lightsaber. Because if they were both lasers, if they were both light, then they would just go right through each other.
And why you never see Jedis around cassette tapes, because they'd all be ruined.
There's no 8-tracks anywhere in the Star Wars galaxy.
That's
for
right.
That exact reason. The similar poles of magnets repel each other. You know, north repels north, south repels south. So, in theory, the magnetic fields are going to repel each other, and that's why you can hit lightsabers against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't really make sense as to how you would be able to reflect blaster bolts, and you think that, like, every once in a while you'd come across a lightsaber that was the opposite pole, and then they would just be attracted to each other, and then you couldn't get your lightsabers apart, but we're going to ignore all that. And just say that magnets are holding plasma in place.
Okay.
And that is what gives you your lightsaber.
So are they adjustable? Is it just an on-off switch, or how does this work?
Okay, so in canon, you can do a blade length adjustment. You know, if you want to add that to your lightsaber, that's an option. It's really there's a lot of things that they talk about in the books and in the movies that they just brush off very quickly, like, oh, kyber crystals is what focuses the energy, moving on. And that's just, you know, sci-fi bullshit. It doesn't really mean anything.
Gotcha. So you can do the length, but what about like the brightness? Like let's say I want like a night lightsaber. Like I'm going up to the fridge. I don't want to trip on any thermal detonators. And I want a little bit of light just to see where I'm going.
There was, again, according to canon, you could change the intensity.
Yeah.
Like, there was a low power setting that you would use for training. Because if you notice, like, in the movies, they start with, like, five-year-olds. And just like, here's your lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I don't, like, you should not give a lightsaber to anyone, but especially a five-year-old.
Yeah, or like a, you know, maybe there's like a date night setting. Like, the lady's coming home, I want to set the mood, hang the lightsabers, and just set them on low.
You know how the ladies like the lightsabers.
That's right.
Just turn it on low. Well, then I feel like you'd need, well, like different lightsabers to set the mood. Like, would you go with a red lightsaber in that case? Or is red too? That's too much. That's too sensuous.
Well, it depends on the season. You know, around Christmas time, you got your red and your green.
Sure, sure.
4th of July, all about America.
Of course. You know, that's they don't touch on Christmas enough in the Star Wars universe, I feel. That's what they've been missing out on.
That's really it.
In canon, there's a power cell that has some amount of crazy energy. There's what's called a kyber crystal, which is supposed to focus that energy. And then there's what's called the emitter matrix and emitter shroud. And that's what actually determines the magnetic field that you can adjust to make it longer or shorter.
All right.
But all of those are just weird, like, that's all just sci-fi terms that don't mean anything in the real world. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, nobody really knows how you would create a magnetic field in that exact shape. The reason the tokamak works is because the donut shape, you just surround with magnets. You have magnets inside, magnets on the outside, and then so you can make a spherical shape that way. But how you would just get a magnet to, like, okay, just go up a little bit, okay, go up a little bit further, like, that's sci-fi mumbo-jumbo. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, magnets are different a long time ago, far, far away. They just work differently.
Right, that's true. I forgot about that. That's my mistake. There's a huge energy source in the hilt that somehow doesn't make the hilt hot. And, you know, future magnets that can just go as much as you want and then no further.
Well, it's good they have that energy source contained, because it was really embarrassing when all the Jedi Knights had to wear oven mitts when they were fighting all the time.
I would watch that movie. That would be great. Just like, it's a little... can we stop fighting for 5 minutes? I need to cool off.
Ah, yes. Master Crocker, I love your casserole. Now let's fight.
Yes, exactly. Essentially, if we could find a powerful enough energy source that could be contained and figure out a way to get the magnetic fields to line up properly, we could get lightsabers. And in fact, we could even choose the color of our lightsaber based on the gas we're turning into a plasma in the lightsaber.
Huh.
Anytime you put enough energy into a gas to turn it into a plasma, you've got that separation of electrons from the nucleus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these nucleus are going to break apart and hit other atoms, and those electrons are going to bounce off, and you've got this kind of cascading effect called an electron avalanche. And that's what sends the energy all through and turns all of the gas into a plasma. That electrical current is creating this constant breaking off of electrons. Now, when the electron rejoins the atom, it releases a photon, or a unit of light, in a very specific wavelength. And it all depends on what type of gas you're using. So, for instance, neon will release a red-orange photon. And so that's why neon looks reddish-orange. And if you change the gas, then when the electron recombines with its original atom, or any other atom, then it's going to release a different color photon, and that's how you get different colors in the lightsaber. So blue, orange, green, purple, those are all completely possible. Like, you just have to have the right gas in there to get whatever color you want.
Gotcha. So Vader's rocking the neon, then.
Vader's rocking neon. I think Mace Windu's rocking argon. Obi-Wan's got xenon. So it's really, just pick a gas. You'll get a color.
Methane.
Oh, I think that'll just blow up.
Well, there goes my plan. Make a fart saber.
So those are the basics of how a lightsaber would work. So it's really just up to like MIT or DARPA or whoever, you know, makes things for us today to just come up with a power source, come up with, you know, a magnetic field, and then we could have lightsabers. Like, I could run around and chase my cats with a lightsaber, which is my ultimate goal.
Who needs a laser pointer when you have a laser sword, as George would put it?
Oh, George.
Okay, so these lightsabers, so the Jedi Knights have them, meaning that they're trained from when they're like 5 to use all these things, right?
Right.
So, I don't know about you, but I haven't been training with swords since I'm 5.
You went to the wrong school then.
Apparently. Public schools.
Yes, public schools. I went to fake bullshit sci-fi sword fighting schools, so I'm ready.
So that's one of the main things, is that why this would be so bad is because, okay, great, yeah, all these knights have them and everything else, but you know the knights aren't going to be the only one that have these laser swords. There are going to be all sorts of people. You're not going to get mugged with a knife anymore. You're going to get mugged with a lightsaber. And instead, now the person attacking you doesn't have a little 2-inch blade. He has something that can cut through all your insides. He can say, nope, no more insides. Also, I hate this door and anything else that's around me. I'm just going to cut it up.
It is a very utilitarian weapon in that it will cut through literally anything.
Yeah, is there anything canon or not that it supposedly can't cut through besides other lightsabers?
I mean, again, magnetic fields would, in theory, stop them.
So just wear magnets everywhere you go. That would be your...
Yeah.
Exactly. It'll be very difficult to get on and off buses and subways, but other than that, like, magnets are the way to go.
Okay. So yeah, that would be one thing, is that it's just, if any old somebody can have a lightsaber, that's a lot of power to have in your pocket at any point in time. And just, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this thing and break into your house or a bank or slice your car in half or pretty much anything else. They don't really show a lot of, I don't know, people running rampant and all the things that could happen with a lightsaber if someone's just crazy enough gets their hands on one.
That's true. Although I will say, within the world of Star Wars, they're tough to make. It's not like anyone can make a lightsaber. You have to be attuned with the Force in order to make a lightsaber. But granted, once it's made, like, anyone can pick one up. Like, we saw that in the last film. Like, Finn was just like, well, what's this? I'm going to start swinging it around.
Yeah. I could just run up to a Jedi wearing my magnet suit and a knife, and I stab him, and I take his lightsaber, throw off the magnet suit, and now I'm the Jedi.
Yes, exactly. Also, I think we didn't acknowledge how good my Finn impression was just a moment ago. We could just go back. Like, I think I nailed it.
Yeah, I think you should be in the next sub-series, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I'm doing all the voice work for the video games, obviously, because yes. I'm ready.
So, here's another thing. Okay, safety features.
Okay.
Is it just one little button on the side that you push? Is there like a clip you have to move to the side or something like that?
I mean, again, it's kind of up to the Jedi that makes it. But yeah, on most of them, it does. There's a little button that you push.
Yeah. So scenario, you're walking up to your car, fumbling, trying to find your keys in your purse, and you just cut off your leg. Good job, lightsabers.
So we've all been there.
Yes.
That's true. I mean, like, at least with like guns, there's a safety thing that you have to switch. I don't know guns, but from what I understand, there's a safety thing called a safety.
Yeah.
And yeah, there doesn't really seem to be that on most lightsabers that I've seen. Like, you just like hold the button. There, like, the closest thing to a safety feature is that you have to hold the button so that if you drop it, it'll turn itself off. Huh. But even that doesn't seem accurate because, like, Vader throws his around and it doesn't turn off when he throws it.
Yeah, they throw it with their mind and it spins around and does all that fun stuff.
Exactly. I think you miss the part where he has to go, like, scamper over and find it like a Nerf dart, which is like, oh, where did it go?
Yeah.
Oh, there. Okay, it's good. Thank God it's glowing.
Where he pulls out a piece of tape first, duct tape, and puts it on the side so that it stays on, and then he throws it and calls it back.
Right. Yeah, no, I miss it. It's a deleted scene. You have to see the director's cut for that.
Yeah, so that's just one of the things. I mean, yeah, fumbling through your purse, you know, you're going through your junk drawer. Oops, there's a lightsaber. Now your fridge is cut in half. There's just, you know, I'm just walking down the street.
I hope you wouldn't leave it in your junk drawer. Like, if you had access to one of the most powerful weapons ever, you know, imagined, you're not going to just leave it in your junk drawer. You're going to, like, put it on, like, a mantle or something.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is that, you know, we think, oh, only Jedis make them, everything else. You know, there's going to be some off-brand competitor that's trying to sell them on late-night TV and saying, hey, look, this one can chop through steel and whatever else they're going to do. So, you know, everyone... Your grandma's going to own one, and you'd be like, okay, grandma, now only use this when you really have to, and you're not going to have a grandma much longer, is all I'm saying.
It would be handy in the kitchen, though. Like, let's say you want to make toast. Like, you don't, like, forget a toaster, you just slice a piece of bread, and it's already toasted.
There you go. You don't need an oven, you just stick a bunch of lightsabers in a box and put something in there. You're all set.
Well, that actually brings up an interesting point, though, because the lightsaber doesn't emit a lot of heat. Like, you have to actually cut with the lightsaber to transfer that heat. You can't just hold it close. Because, like, in the movie, like, we saw this in the last movie, Kylo Ren held the lightsaber, like, right up to Riley's face. What's her name? She has a name.
Yeah.
I probably should have looked that up before I started referencing that moment. So we'll just call her Brunette Girl Number 3, because that's the only thing that Star Wars knows how to do. Daisy Ridley is the actress. What's the character's name? I just lost so much. Like, I had so much cred going into this when I, like, pulled out kyber crystals. And so, like, everyone was like, ooh, he knows his stuff. And now I can't remember the one character that matters in the new trilogy. Ren? Is it Ren? No, that's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's Kylo Ren. He's the bad guy. Even I know that.
Right.
Although, yeah. Although I don't know the thing you're trying to say. I'm just going to let you fumble over it for a while.
Good, good. Let's just keep this going. This is good radio. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Tune in next time when Trek Wars and...
when I forget more words or how to speak English.
I still just think there'd be a lot of... Yeah, there'd be a lot of knockoffs. There'd be a lot of people that have all these little things. And there's just too many... There's just too many scenarios where you're trying to do something. You're messing around. You know, all of a sudden your kid finds your lightsaber under your bed. Well, great. What's that kid going to do? Or here, you know, here I am just walking down the street, my cargo shorts, all sorts of things in my pockets. Got my Game Boy, got my energy drink, and there's a lightsaber in there too. Something's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then this is assuming that the thing is made right in the first place. Now, let's just assume, even for, you know, these great Jedi, who apparently, you know, have a really good shop class that they take to make all these things. That's also never explained in the movies.
It's Jedi high school, yeah. Where, you know, like, there's home ec, you do your baking, Jedi baking, and then you go and make a lightsaber.
Yeah. But, I mean, one of these things has got to be made wrong eventually. Like, somebody turns it on, oh, it doesn't extend just 2 feet in front of me, it extends for 300 feet, and it punches a hole through the planet.
Well, that is actually something that they address in the books.
Somebody punches a hole in the planet?
Oh my god, Ray was her name, god damn it.
Ray Romano, god damn it.
Ray Romano, everyone's favorite.
Get the lightsaber, Deborah!
Oh, good. No, clearly I've saved myself in the eyes of our viewers. Uh-huh. And by viewers, I mean listeners. I'm doing great. What were you saying? Oh, yeah. Okay, so in the canon of Star Wars, the emitter matrix that determines how long the magnetic field can go,
mm-hmm.
If you put it in backwards, then your lightsaber is a bomb. And the minute you turn it on, it explodes and kills everyone around you.
Oh.
So they do address it, like, that is canon. Like, what you're saying now, that, like, hey, do this wrong and everyone dies. Like, yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, and you know that only happens, like, that's only in the rule book because it happened. Like, they don't just have these things in there for fun. Somebody at one point tried it out and they said, oh, what if it goes this way?
Just think of, like, the first kid in that, you know, Jedi shop class that blew up half the class. And it's just, oh, he's getting an F. He's not gonna, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the R&D to make this in the first place. I mean, how many planets of Jedis did they go through? Was it, all right, guys, the plus side goes on here, the minus side goes over here. No, don't switch them up. We all know what happened to those four planets you've never heard of.
Right, because they blew up.
Yeah. And also, can you... Okay, so it's not technically light, but, I mean, is there some way to adjust the brightness on there? Like, if I make this wrong, can I turn on my lightsaber and it's like a flashbang and I just automatically blind everybody in the room?
That's a good question. I would imagine that there is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, first of all, it's a civilized weapon, mm-hmm. for a civilized age. And a flashbang just doesn't feel as civilized, so they probably wouldn't do that. But in theory, you could. I mean, you've just got an energy source. Like, the whole idea of the lightsaber is that you're focusing an energy source into a finite beam. But that same energy source could power any number of things. I mean, that was the whole plot of Rogue One, is that the same energy source is powering the Death Star, now blowing up planets. So it's really just the application of that energy. Listen, lightsabers don't kill people. People kill people, is what I'm getting at here.
And they do it much easier and toastier with lightsabers.
Exactly.
So is there, besides our good old magnet suit in canon, is there any sort of armor or force field or something that stops these from slicing you?
Not really. I mean, for the most part, it'll slice through people, no problem. It slices through droids, no problem. There's, like, some random beast whose name I've forgotten now because it doesn't matter.
Is it Rey?
It's probably Rey. It is Rey. Sorry. I'm sorry, Daisy Ridley. You did such a great job. Please don't take my forgetfulness as a slight on you. You were the best part of the new movie. No, but there's, like, some random animal that's hide is too thick to be penetrated by lightsaber in some random novel.
That
but,
makes
you know,
no sense. Is it, like, 300 feet thick?
It's a very thick. It's an armadillo.
Even if it's too thick, apparently, according to Episode 1, if you just kind of, like, you know, stick your lightsaber in there and set a little timer, you're going to get through it eventually, no matter what it is.
Right. No, I did like that. And, it, like, you know, when they close the blast doors, he's like, look, I'll take the time. It's just, you know, do you have my daughter in there? That's a different movie.
Also, Qui-Gon, how come you didn't just extend your little range extender thing and just go through the door that way, huh? Yeah, didn't think about that, did you?
God, such a loser Jedi. We'd be better.
And so, okay. So they have this, there's some little safety feature thing on that turns it off when your thumb gets pushed on or whatever. But
right.
Okay, whether it's stuck on or you got your hands in some jelly jam and it got all sticky and it stayed on.
Yeah, that happens more times than you realize.
It does. Yes. So say I drop the lightsaber.
Okay.
When does it stop? Does it just flow through the entire planet and pop out the other side and then go crashing into another planet someday using its gravity to thrust it along through the galaxy? You just have this lightsaber flying through, cutting planets in half.
I do appreciate that visual of just like somebody's flying along and a lightsaber just goes zooming past their ship. Just like, damn it. A Jedi 18,000 light years away dropped his, and now this is what we're doing.
Exactly, or anything. I mean, you're driving in your car and you drop it. You know, you're on an airplane. Whoops, there it goes. And now the whole plane falls.
Right. I mean, that would be an issue, I suppose. Like, if you just drop it, it's going to cut through whatever. I mean, the hilt would get stuck on something, I would guess, and keep it in place eventually. Because you'd have to essentially drop it, like, straight down and hope that the hole that it makes is just big enough for the hilt to fit through in order for it to fall.
Well, yeah, but does...
for infinity.
I mean, I would assume, again, not science, not a science person, I would assume that plasma still has some sort of mass, right?
It does, yes.
So even if I drop the lightsaber on its side, that mass just might make it kind of tip over and then swirl and then just fly through everything and kill everything again.
Well, I mean, while plasma does have mass, like you can't have that heat transference without mass, it's still a whole lot less mass than the hilt. Like the hilt will always be heavier than the actual blade.
Well, what if I'm using the lightsaber, L-I-T-E light, and the handle is just a little nicer for, you know, a smaller man or a woman?
Right, the lightsaber with fewer calories, yes. That one, yeah.
The low-fat saber.
Sure, exactly. Look, you know, we're all watching our weight in a galaxy far, far away. That happens.
Yeah. So then can you make this into any sort of, so they picked, you know, a sword, a saber, a straight saber form. That's great. You can poke stuff. You can slash and stuff.
Right. Yes.
So could this theoretically, and has it been made into any other shapes? Can I have like, I don't know, what are those things called that you put on your knuckles that are iron? Iron knuckles? Is that what they are?
Brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles. Any metal, you know, steel, something.
Right, pick a metal. That's fine.
Could I have like lightsaber knuckles?
In theory, yes. I don't see why not. I mean, the biggest again, in canon, there are 7 lightsaber fighting forms. Why 7? I don't know. Just because. The biggest variation for them seems to be either the length of the blade or the length of the handle. So there's like lightsaber pikes.
Huh.
You know, where you just got a longer stick and then the lightsaber starts coming out the end. Or you have like Yoda's where it's just shorter because he's little. And it's too much. It's too much for the little guy.
Wouldn't it be great if you busted it out and it's just like 3 times as long as a lightsaber?
He's just fighting from across the room. Deal with this, Emperor. Again, stunning Yoda impression. I'm basically, I don't know why I haven't been called for more voice work. But yeah, I mean, you know, you basically still need that plasma contained in one way or another. And you could change the shape of a magnetic field. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, the tokamak is circular. It's donut shaped. So there's, I suppose you could make, you know, a half donut on your knuckles and have lightsaber knuckles and you just punch someone to death with plasma beams.
I mean, it would probably only take one punch is my guess.
That's true. That's true. There is kind of a huge drawback to lightsabers as a weapon in that they cauterize the wound as soon as they make it, which really like kind of is defeats the purpose. Like if I just had like an axe and I cut off your hand.
Please don't.
Like in real life. Right. Well, I mean, I wasn't planning on it. But if I were, that would be a life-threatening event because it just turns out the blood needs to stay inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
And cutting off your hand lets it come out in a very rapid way. But if I cut off your hand with a lightsaber, it's going to cauterize that wound instantly and keep you from bleeding out. And like it hurts. You lost a hand and that sucks. But otherwise you'd kind of be okay. Like you really do have to like stab him in the chest and then like, you know, root it around a little bit to to mess up their organs to like actually kill them.
Yeah. Extremity shots aren't really as, I don't know, as important anymore, I suppose.
Right. I mean, think of how many limbs are lost in the movies, and it, like, Luke loses a hand. Vader loses like every limb that he has, and he keeps going.
He just keeps crawling out of there.
Just keep crawling through that lava fire.
He really liked Dory. He just really wanted to keep swimming through that lava.
I mean, now that they're all owned by Disney, that's how it works.
I'm just waiting for the crossover.
Exactly.
But I mean, Carterized doesn't mean, I mean, it's still like all gushy and stuff, right? Like infections probably would happen.
The intense heat of the lightsaber is probably going to kill off most bacteria. Like, you're actually coming up with a pretty safe way to dismember somebody.
Like most things, this was probably made as some, like, great, I don't know, like, life-saving invention. Oh, here's a new way to cauterize wounds. Or someone in the kitchen is like, ah, now my ahi tuna will be perfectly seared every time I cut it. And then some, you know, jackass comes along and he's like, oh, I got a better thing for this. Cadet.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it could also use it as like, medical procedures. I mean, like, think of a surgeon who has a scalpel that could cauterize the wound as he's cutting. Like, I mean, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm not a surgeon, but I imagine that that's exactly what you want to do at all times.
Is this one thing surgeons love? It's hot things.
It's hot things that instantly melt flesh. That's what every surgery involves, or should involve.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's just... Okay. So there's this thing, this weaponized thing that can basically essentially take any form you want it to, if you build it right, that can cut through absolutely anything except some weird monster that I guess, you know, you have to. So do people just build their houses out of these like monster hides and just hope that like nobody
I don't think the monster's that common. Maybe on that planet they do. It's, everyone's like, yeah. Ooh, monster hide jacket, deal with me now, Jedi.
That's the thing, there's just, because in this scenario, in this world of lightsabers, there's, why even have walls or vaults or anything anymore when someone can just be like, vroom, oh hey, how's it going?
Well, I mean, because it's still fairly rare. I mean, it's like, you know, you have a house and a door. I mean, like, I could kick it in, but it doesn't mean you're not going to, like, oh, well, what's the point of having a door if you can just kick it in?
Well, yeah, but it's going to take you several kicks, and it's probably going to hurt you in the meantime, versus having a lightsaber, you can just do one little boom, boom, and you're in. You're good.
You don't know the strength of my thighs. I have very strong thighs.
Are they lightsaber thighs? Saber thighs?
They're saber thighs. They're saber-shaped, and they're actually plasma thighs. I mean, I see what you're saying, but again, I feel like there's essentially that whole idea of, like, I mean, with any weapon, there's going to be pros and cons to it, but it's a fairly, you know, rare type of weapon, and not everyone's going to be running around with them. So, you know, most people, are just going to go through their day. They're just going to, you know, farm their moisture or, junk some droids. I don't know, whatever you do, whatever the manual labor is. Mm-hmm. In Star Wars, we don't see enough of that. Like, it's always the big epic space battles. Like, where's the guy that, like, who's the accountant on the Death Star that's just like, oh, I gotta, like, we're not hitting our budget this quarter, Darth. Like, can we look into that?
I'm sure he's on a very first name basis with him.
Right.
That's one thing Anakin loves. It's accountancy.
Exactly.
I suppose it's a weapon unlike any other weapon, but when you add so much power to it, and there's just, yeah, I don't know. It seems like, I get the scarcity and it might be hard to find and everything else, but I think there'd be people who'd just be making these things left and right that wouldn't be working at all, or it'd be so faulty, or you'd buy one, you know, get like that home defense thing, be like, oh, now I have my own lightsaber in case they come and attack me, and it's made of, like, I don't know, some non-plasma thing that just, like, doesn't actually stop anything.
The only way to stop a bad guy with a lightsaber is a good guy with a lightsaber.
That's right.
There is a startling lack of safety features with lightsabers. Like, everyone made fun of Kylo Ren's lightsaber for having the crossguard. You know, whenever... But, like, no, you need a crossguard. Like, that's... Every lightsaber should have that.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, especially going back to, you know, medieval swordplay, that's... Like, every single sword had one of those, even actual sabers.
Because it's very easy to just slide down the length of your opponent's blade and cut their wrist, which happens several times in the prequel. Like, Anakin just slices off both hands of Dooku. Dooku? I don't know.
Dookie.
Dookie was his name. I remember it now. Hey, Rey. I miss you. Because I'm right here. Oh, thank goodness.
I never left your side.
Everybody loves Jedi.
Rey will be with you always.
So yeah, no, I mean, obviously there is many safety features that lightsabers should have and do not.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like you said, like with all these knockoff ones, if you have essentially a mini nuke in the hilt of every one of these to create this amount of energy on, you know, at your beck and call at any time, that we already established in canon can explode at any moment. All these knockoff lightsabers, that's just like, here's a nuclear bomb in your kitchen just waiting to go off.
Exactly. That's what I mean. There's going to be nobody. What's that Fermi paradox thing? The reason why we haven't found life is because lightsabers, because somebody made one wrong and they're dead. They're all dead.
They all blew up. Goodbye, planet Glip Glorp the second.
Yes.
You don't even want to know what happened to the first Glip Glorp. I do want to see now the like late night infomercial for a lightsaber, for like the knockoff, you know, bright sword, because they can't call it a lightsaber for, you know, trademark purposes.
That's right. You ever see that video of the guy who has the katana and he's like cutting it and the blade comes off and it like hits him in the stomach?
Yeah, yes.
That's what's gonna happen.
That's exactly, but it'll slice right through him because it's a lightsaber. And yes. So are you saying that I only get a lightsaber once I learn to be a space wizard?
I mean, ideally, yes, but then we'd all be space wizards, or we should be, and then...
Would we?
No one's really that special if you're all space wizards. Then everyone's just a space wizard, and they're like, oh yeah, you got one? Yeah, I got one of those too. All right.
Well, that's a fair point. That's true. But I mean, it does seem fairly rare to be Force-sensitive in the Star Wars universe, which makes it harder to... Like, most of us would be... Like, we all like to think that we'd be a Jedi, or barring that, we're like, oh, I'd be Han Solo, or I'd be Boba Fett, and that's what I would be. Like, no, you would be, like, Finn is probably the closest answer. You'd be, like, just some low-level guy that happened to get swept up in all this.
Yeah.
Doesn't really know what he's doing.
If you're lucky, or, you know, in the cosmos, maybe you're that little rat thing that sits next to Jabba the Hutt.
That's what I would go for. Because, like, Jabba's got a good, I mean, you know, like, yeah, you have to... probably pleasure a giant slug monster.
I mean, think about it. That little guy, once everyone was dead, he probably had the feast of his life. He probably ended up better than anyone else in that film, because now he just has a whole floating ship thing full of dead people that he can eat for the rest of his life. Jabba,
well, it does.
There's a lot of Jabba to go around. Let's just say that.
That's true. Like, if you wanted to eat Jabba, like, you got a ways to go to get through that guy.
Does he have bones? Does Jabba have bones?
Jabba does have bones.
It's a lot of fat.
Do you want to hear something really sad? That little monkey guy, Salacious Crumb. I remember his name instantly. The main character of Force Awakens. I draw a blank. I'm never going to forgive myself, nor should the listeners. They've all tuned away and will never click on us again.
You remember the important people.
Right, the important people like Salacious Crumb.
Yeah, the little guys. You got to look out for the little guys.
Exactly. That's you know why? Because that's who I relate to in that world. I would not be Rey. I would not be Poe Dameron. I would be Salacious Crumb. I'd be like, thank you, Jabba. You go ahead and eat that weird frog thing. I'm just going to sit here and laugh at your jokes.
On the plus side, you'd have a great vertical leap.
I do.
He jumps up to that rafter like it's nothing.
Yes. It's nothing at all. Like, and to think about, like, because he's only like a foot tall. So that'd be like the equivalent of me jumping like 10 stories. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Start a basketball team with that guy.
That's exactly, yes.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. That was lightsabers and all the reasons they are bad.
There's a lot. It turns out there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a few. We're going to be hitting some other fun sci-fi technologies, teleporters, flying cars, things like that, to name a few.
Basically, anything that you've seen in a movie and you want, you can't have.
Yeah, we're going to tell you why it's bad. It's bad for you and your family.
And crush your dreams the same way that my dreams have been crushed with science.
Hey, that's what dreams are for.
to be crushed. Yep. Okay. You can follow us both on Twitter. And if you have suggestions for future episodes, hit us up with the hashtag sci-fi no-nos.
That's no-nos with two no's. Two of them.
That's very clear now. There's no way they could misunderstand that.
Well, they could have thought that it's like no-nos. Like, oh no, what happened to his nose? It was cut off by a lightsaber.
Right, but no, it's the word no twice.
Was there an S at the end? Yeah, there you go.
There is, yeah. No, well, yeah, we figured it out. You can follow me at Rainy Michael V on Twitter. The V is for Viscosity.
You can find me at Mecha Rainey. That's all one word. Mecha is M-E-C-H-A, and Rainey is R-A-I-N-E-Y.
Also, my brother's a robot. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Yes, Mecha.
But yes, clearly. Or cyborg, you know. I don't mean to label you.
Yeah.
You do you.
I'm like the Bionic Commando. I was around in the 80s, and then I disappeared, and then I came back in reboot for some reason, and nobody's heard about me. If you want to listen to some more podcasts, we have another one called Second Chance Cinema.
Yeah, basically it's a chance for us to review, you know, great movies or movies that we think deserve a second chance. Either they, you know, came and went in the movie theaters and, you know, there wasn't a marketing push for them, or maybe they came out the same weekend as a big blockbuster and just kind of got lost in the shuffle. But either way, we think it's worth it to see how well they've aged and give those movies another chance.
A second chance.
Hence the name. Since this podcast comes out every other Thursday, Second Chance Cinema will come out on the Thursdays in between, so you never have to be without us.
You just get a little bit every week, just a little bit, just for you.
Every week, the Rainy Bros, right in the comfort of your home, in your ear places, where you hear things.
That's right. That's where I hear all my things, in the ears.
Yeah.
Both of them.
In the ear place. That's exactly how people describe things.
Like the Force. Sorry, I'm just trying to tie back in.
No, that was good. Yeah, no, it's all full circle now. That was very organic, and it felt natural, and they'll clearly come back for more.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.